Hey everybody, you're listening to Top Quartile, where we bring you stories from the front lines of growth in community-focused financial services. Well, hello and welcome. I'm Dan Marks. I'm a partner and EVP at Enfusion, and I've got a great guest today, Shane Loper, who's the Chief Operating Officer at Hancock Whitney. Shane, good to have you. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. A beautiful day, just coming off a beautiful weekend. It's a great, great day.
That's right. Yeah, spring has sprung, and it's awesome. Hey, as we get started, talk a little bit about your military background and your work at Hancock Whitney.
Sure. You know, the military part of my career started when I was in college at University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg. I saw an advertisement for helicopter pilots, and I said, wow, that'd be something cool to do. So I contacted the local recruiter and found out some information on it. And next thing I know, I was headed off to basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky in January. Not a smart play on my part, because I think it was freezing the whole time I was up there. But anyway, I started down that path in 1987, spent a total of 18 years. I had a break in service along the way, just doing stuff with the job here at the bank. But I really have enjoyed that time in the military, the camaraderie with all of the different people, always knowing that you can depend on the other person to get their job done. I started as an enlisted guy, decided that I needed to go to OCS. So I went to officer candidate school and got my commission as a second lieutenant. And, you know, along the way, I was looking to fly helicopters, and it turned out that didn't really pan out for me. So I ended up going to the other end of the spectrum and became an infantry officer. So kind of bracketed the careers there in the military. I had a great career there in the Guard, and taught me a lot about leadership, a lot about kind of servant leadership. You wouldn't necessarily think that about a military career, because everybody always thinks about it as very hierarchical and chain of command and those kind of things. But to be a really good leader and be effective leader in the military, you kind of got to be a servant leader, you know, in terms of putting the mission first, putting the soldiers first, putting all of the things that you're working towards first to really make that a successful endeavor. Started with the bank in 1990. So I've been here as of this past November, 30 years. It doesn't seem like that. It seems, you know, in my head, like I've started not too long ago, but it's been 30 years, and there's been a tremendous amount of things and people that have, you know, kind of rubbed shoulders with my career here at the bank. And I'm just very fortunate for all of those people and all those events that have helped me develop as a leader along the way. You know, I started at the bank as a computer programmer, and now the chief operating officer. I think I've done just about everything you could do, at least in general areas of the bank. You know, everything from being the HR director to the chief risk officer to being a programmer to now the COO. So it's been a great career. It's been a great opportunity to learn, to meet people, to make an impact on the community, make an impact on folks' lives. So, you know, our bank is, you know, over 100 years old. It's founded in 1899. You know, it's just got a long, long history of making an impact in the community and on people's lives, strong value system, strong culture. And it's just an honor to be a part of it.
Yeah. And it was really an honor for me to be a part of Hancock Whitney for 5 years as well. So it was special time for sure. What is maybe one fascinating thing that most people don't know about Shane?
Well, I don't consider myself very fascinating, I guess, you know, just pretty much an average person. I did win the top honor in my OCS class. It was called the Erickson Trophy. It was for the top graduate. You know, we started with, I don't know, I guess maybe 100 or 120 candidates in our class, and ended up with down in the mid 30s by the time we finished the school. And that's something I don't talk a lot about, but you know, it was one of those things that I considered a pretty strong achievement in my life, because I was competing for that honor with a bunch of people that were really, really smart. They had a lot of drive, a lot of intestinal fortitude. They were very focused on what they were trying to achieve, and it was it was just something that turned out to be a really, really good honor for me.
That is a special honor, and I'm sure very well deserved. Well, you touched on Hancock Whitney's mission and core values. How would you describe those?
Well, you know, banking is an essential service for our community. Leo Seal Jr., who was our fifth president of the bank, always said that, you know, a bank in a community is essential to ensure that commerce is developed, that businesses can grow and thrive. And, you know, I think that's something that's held true since the beginning of the bank, you know, back in 1899. Our whole purpose is to facilitate commerce, you know, in the communities that we serve. Without a bank, there's no way to provide the community with opportunities for growth or folks to realize, you know, their goals and dreams. And that's another part of, you know, what we're about as a company is making folks' financial goals and dreams come true. I think, you know, we've talked about before, Dan, we're kind of in the dream building business. That was kind of one of the things that we talked about as we were rebranding. And it just really resonates with folks. You think of a bank as, okay, a bank's very proper, very business-like and those kind of things. But when you really get down to it, a bank is something that can help people, can help communities. You know, it has the ability to provide capital for businesses through loans. It has the ability to provide sponsorships and donations and contributions and volunteer labor to the community. I mean, it's just a really important thing. As Leo said, it's an essential service for the community. And, you know, our mission and values are just something that, you know, are very time tested. We look back, you know, to all the events that have occurred over time. And, you know, you can see our mission, purpose, and values in every one of those events. But it plays out either through personal behavior or corporate behavior or, you know, the way that we showed up to make sure something got done for the community or for an individual.
Yeah, and I can attest that the core values are something that's not just written on a wall. It really does drive those things, and we'll unpack it. If I had to pick two, I thought the teamwork and personal responsibility, both, you know, because some organizations put so much emphasis on the individual. And if you do that, it ends up being cutthroat. But then the teamwork fact, you know, and some organizations put so much emphasis on teamwork or collaboration that if you're not careful, you never get anything done. And so the fact that those two core values are both kind of coincident is just one of those special things.
Yeah. When you talk about teamwork and personal responsibility, you know this because we've talked about it before, but I like to think of it in terms as a team contributor versus a team member. And, you know, if you're a team contributor, then you're taking the personal responsibility to ensure that the team is successful through your contributions versus being on the team and, you know, being part of the win with maybe not as much of your contribution contributing to the win. So when I think of teamwork, I think of team contributors versus team members.
Yeah. And it kind of goes almost back to what you were talking before about being on a team where everybody knows you can count on anybody else is a special place. So, well, and we started talking about this a little bit, but how do those values and mission help drive growth at Hancock Whitney over the years?
It's been a truism, I guess, since the company was founded that, you know, we've been there to help people achieve their financial goals and dreams. And, you know, with that as your mission, it's pretty simple to get what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're supposed to be taking the company, all of the resources of the company, and channeling that into helping people and communities achieve their financial goals and dreams to facilitate commerce in the communities that you serve. And I think when you do that and your corporate and personal behavior exhibits that, and you know, you can be seen as that is your purpose. You know, people can say in a community, I know Hancock Whitney is here to help the community because of this, 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 and this. You know, I can see that. I can see Shane is adhering to the values of the company because I can observe his behavior along the way. You put those things together, and I think it makes a powerful package to be able to sell to grow your overall company. So when you think about the things that, you know, we've been through as a company, whether it's storms, economic disasters, pandemics, we've stayed true to all of those behaviors along the way. And I think folks realize that. I think they appreciate it. And they see the bank for something more than just a place to keep their money and do transactions and borrow from and those kind of things. They see the bank as part of their community and part of the process to make their community better, make their lives better, and win together. So it's worth thinking about, you know, all the things that have happened over the years and the growth that resulted from all of those things. I think it really goes back to, how do we show up every day? What are those behaviors that people observe? What do they say about us as a company and as individuals? And I think if they tell a good story, and they tell a story that's one that's focused on helping communities and people win and achieve their goals and dreams, then they're going to move their business to you and they're going to stay with you. And I met with a client today at lunch. Some things had gone wrong back, I don't know, 30 years ago. He was needing some help. And Whitney Bank stepped in, took kind of a collection of different pieces of collateral and some other, you know, creative ways of financing. And the company is one of the most successful firms in the region today. And he told me the story at lunch today. And he said, you know, Whitney took a chance on me and I'm here for life.
There you go. That's a great one. When you think about some of the tough decisions and over 30 years, you've had to make plenty of them. What are some examples you've seen either in yourself or in the organization where those core values have really made an impact and how tough decisions are made?
One of the toughest things that we deal with, and for those of your listeners that don't deal with hurricanes, probably won't get this quite as firmly as those that live in a hurricane prone area. But, you know, we've always had the mantra of last to close, first to open. So what does that mean? That means when a storm's coming and banking being a central service, we work hard to stay in place, operating so that we're there for the last clients that are exiting the danger area of a hurricane. And then we work really hard to get back in and be the first to open, because we know that there's going to be significant damage in most hurricanes. And back to that facilitating commerce purpose, a bank is going to need to be open and people are going to need to get cash. They're going to need to negotiate financial transactions to get blue tarps on their roof or building supplies, whatever it is to, you know, repair their homes or their businesses. And that's a tough one for me to make that call, for John Hairston, our CEO, to make that call, and for our people in the markets to make those calls, to ask folks to stretch and go beyond really the, you know, kind of what you would say is normal employment and make those sacrifices. And when we do that, you know, just like we did this year and geez, all of our areas, you know, Lake Charles, Lafayette, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Pensacola, Mississippi Gulf Coast, those associates were there to stand in the gap for the communities, you know, with food, with water, with the ability to do financial transactions. And those are hard decisions, but they're rooted in our value system and our purpose. And I believe most people understand them. It's hard to do those types of things, you know, especially when danger's there. And, you know, we try to take care of everybody on our team to ensure that they're taken care of so that they really don't have to worry about their own personal things. You know, another example was this past year during the pandemic, you know, when the Paycheck Protection Program kicked off. We had over 2,000 people working remotely. Almost a year ago, yesterday, was when PPP kicked off. So we had over 2,000 people working remotely. But we were able to pull together thousands of bankers and back office and support folks and do over 13,000 PPP loans for over $2.4 billion in needed community assistance, business assistance for our clients. Without a deep culture, without a commitment to values and having folks on the team that are deeply steeped in all of those values and that culture, I don't think we could have got that done. And asking those folks to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, And, you know, that's a literal 24/7. I mean, people, you know, sleeping at their desk at their home offices. I mean, you know, you were there. I mean, it was a Herculean effort to get that aid out to clients. And I mean, it just all ties back to culture, values, and having people that are deeply steeped and understand why you do what you do.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the famous story of the Hancock card tables. So for anybody who hadn't heard that story about Katrina, you want to give the 60-second version of that? Because I think that's just a classic, and it speaks to exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi was, you know, where the eye of Katrina came across the coastline. You know, 34 feet of water wiped out everything in its path. And days after that, we moved a motorhome from the repo lot into that area, took out a folding table, put up a sign that the marketing department probably had gotten made, you know, in a matter of hours, and set up a branch and started doing commerce. First transaction was the chief of police just trying to get some cash so he could take care of his people. But that's the kind of thing that I think our culture, our value system is. I mean, and it's been that way since the beginning. And I know a lot of folks, you know, kind of say, well, how do you have that deep a culture? How do you get people to do that? You know, it's just called living it. I mean, it's more than words on a card. It's more than taglines in an ad. It's how you show up. It's personal behavior. It's the willingness of all people to sacrifice for the greater good of the organization. And I just, you know, I think we've got something that's a little bit special.
Yep. And you have a very defined leadership philosophy. So how does that tie into the organization's core values?
You know, my leadership philosophy kind of comes a little bit from, you know, my early years in the military and really thinking about how do you lead people? I mean, you've got to be able to demonstrate to them that you're willing to do the work, you're willing to stand in and have some of the sacrifice. You're also willing to make tough calls when calls are made, but you're willing to do that with a level of empathy and compassion. That, hey, he's thought about this. He's put his self in this position. I can link the decision back to, you know, why we're here as a company. I can link the decision back to the values of the company. So I think my leadership's philosophy and style is one of being empathetic and compassionate, but being one of very high expectations and willing to step in and, you know, demonstrate that I'm willing to make those sacrifices along with the team, which I think helps build trust.
Absolutely. And I've saw that many times myself. We've talked about some really big tasks that have been accomplished, kind of rooted in the core values. Anything else you want to mention that may have seemed, you know, kind of completely impossible at first, but you knew that you had a team that could pull it off?
Yeah, you know, I go back to Katrina. The story of Hancock and Whitney post Katrina was essentially both companies were tore down to nothing. I mean, you know, Hancock lost the building that we were headquartered in, all technology services gone. I mean, essentially no equipment running anywhere. Same pretty much for Whitney. And pulling all of that together, I think folks really understood what their roles were. They understood what was at stake. They took the personal responsibility to sacrifice and do what they had to do to get the two companies up and running. At times, I think, you know, we probably all were wondering, you know, we're going to be able to pull this off after, you know, one of the worst natural disasters in the history of the United States. And we were able to do it. And we were able to do it because of the heart to win of our people. You know, I told a group the other day, you know, one of the things I think makes you the best, you know, we've got this saying right now that we're, you know, we're on a journey to be the best, not one of the best or among the best, but the best, is a heart to win and passion for clients. And I think, you know, that heart to win and the passion for clients to get back up and running and take care of clients over time was a driving factor to get things put together, back together, really, after Katrina. And there's been numerous other situations along the way, whether it's been, you know, mergers and, you know, pulling banks together. The Hancock-Whitney merger was a huge Herculean task to do all of that. It just seems like you can't out-ask our people what they're willing to give. You just can't out-ask them. I mean, you keep asking for stuff and they keep giving. And, you know, you think, well, we're at the end, we can't ask anymore. And we ask again, and then they keep on giving. And, you know, I like to kind of reference that as the stepping stones to the next level of performance, is that a lot of times we have a mental block that says, you know, I can't do that. The pain's too much. The consequences are too harsh. And somehow the team just keeps figuring out how to give more. There's just too many instances to reference, but those are a couple.
Yep. And you talk about the kind of the pace of change, and it's picking up, and digitization and all the things that are shaping change or not slowing down. And a lot of times when people talk about culture, they sort of point to things in the past. What about the culture equips for continually adapting and rising to that, you know, kind of the next level of performance like you were just talking about?
Well, I think that, you know, the mission is a very critical part of it. So as the world becomes a lot more dynamic from a financial services perspective to help people achieve their financial goals and dreams, you know, you may not be able to do that with a standard checking account or a unsecured personal loan or whatever. You've got to come up with innovative financial products and be able to deliver those and meet the client where they want to be met versus maybe where the bank wants to be met. So I think our mission, you know, requires us to think into the future so that we can continually be providing, you know, those products and services and distributing them in a fashion that helps pay off on the mission. We talk a lot about that around here, about paying off on the mission. So one example would be, you know, how are we going to leverage data to help people be more financial well, more financial healthy, such that they can have savings plans if they want to, or they can prepare for home ownership, or they can prepare for college, or they have enough money to be able to put some money away for an emergency situation, or buy something using their phone at some point in the future, you know, just because they've got a dream that they wanted to fulfill that day. You know, how do we do all those things? And I think, you know, that mission, which is pretty clear and simple, helps us stay innovative around that. I mean, our values, I think, are timeless. You know, it's just how you conduct yourself, how you show up every day. But I think that mission, whether it was intended that way when the original founders thought it up or not, it is pretty forward thinking, because your financial goals and dreams, by definition, that's all in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always have a goal, always have a dream that I'm after. So I think that keeps us forward looking.
It does. Very aspirational. There's always next corner to turn. So, well, it's hard to believe we're almost at the end of our time. So as you think back to our conversation, you know, one of the missions of the show is stories from the front line of growth and high performance. So if you were to sort of sum up, Shane, some key takeaways for our listeners on the topics we've covered, what were some of your kind of key takeaways on driving top performance?
Well, I think, you know, you've got to have a clear purpose and mission that everyone can align to and everyone can be a part of. And, you know, it's pretty easy to see how a programmer or maybe a back office or support person all the way out to the front line can help people achieve their financial goals and dreams, because it takes all of those people to be able to do that. That's the first thing, something that, you know, you can really align to and people can engage with. The core values that we have, you know, we work really hard to operate within those on a day in and day out basis, try to make decisions with those kind of as founding principles, if you will. And I think you've got to have leadership that is willing to sacrifice right along the side of the folks that are getting the work done every day. You know, there's an old story that talks about just the importance or illustrates the importance of the team at the bank. And, you know, Leo Seal Jr. was was away from the bank one day. I think he was at a convention somewhere, and somebody said, "Leo, who's running the bank that you're away? You know, you're away from the bank. You know, you're the CEO of the bank, and you know, the most important person there. Who's running the bank?" And he said, "Well, same people that run it every day." And I think that was a testament, you know, to how important each associate is. You know, I like to say that every job is an important job. No business owner would create a job role that really didn't have an importance in the overall contribution to their business. So having the right people in the right jobs is very important, and having leadership that's willing to work beside them and sacrifice and support along the way. So I think those are some of the key things. And those are, you know, those are not like hacks, right? I don't think there's any hacks in top performance. You know, top performance is earned every day. You know, yep. It's kind of that old adage, you get up every day and you come in and you do the things that you need to do, that you know you need to do to be the best. That's how you become the best. That's how you stay the best. There's no hack. There's no three steps to making it work. It's a long game. It's every single day doing those things that are required to achieve being the best.
Yep. I heard you describe it one time as a game of inches.
Yep. Inch by inch.
Inch by inch. If you get one more inch on every play, that adds up. And so as we do wrap, or almost wrap, just have some fun. If you could kind of go back in time or send an audio message back in time to that young programmer version of yourself just starting out at Hancock Whitney, what advice would you put in that audio message?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, Dan. I just had a session with a group of college students a couple of weeks ago. It was the Financial Management Association at USM. They asked me to kind of give a little talk on what my career's been and, you know, those kind of things. And I did a wrap up for them. And my message to myself would be, you want to do all the things in your personal and professional life that build a brand that is important to others. You know, so for instance, what is someone going to say about you when they talk about Shane Loper? Think about the words that you want describing yourself, then attach behaviors to those, and that's the way that you want to behave and conduct yourself on a day in and day out basis. And I think, you know, that would be the message is, you know, here's a set of guidelines, principles, tips, tactics, advice to build your brand and make it as strong as you can, so that throughout your career, it precedes you, so that folks welcome you, and it's left behind, so that folks go, wow, remember that guy, remember that person, and what their impact was. It was pretty significant.
Yeah, and that is a great document of tips and tricks that will, or not tricks, to your point about hacks, there are no hacks, but tips, principles, and we'll definitely link that up and include it in the show notes, because it's great stuff. So, Shane, thanks for a great discussion.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it. Hopefully we were able to give some folks a few things to think about as they look at their top quartile performance.
That's it for today on Top Quartile. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Top Quartile wherever you find podcasts on any podcast app. And while you're at it, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating. And if you're interested in getting an opportunity assessment, head over to infusionmarketinggroup.com to learn more. Thanks for listening.